Hey guys, welcome back to the Salt Not Sweetener podcast. I'm your host, Danielle Townsend, and this is episode 8. And I am not quite sure yet what this episode is going to be titled, but I do know what we're going to talk about today. And we're going to talk about trusting in God and not leaning in our own understanding, especially when the situation just doesn't make sense. I don't think there's a better way to word it now than that. I pray that the Holy Spirit speaks through me to you today. And I pray that you are blessed today by listening to this podcast episode. You know, Proverbs 3 encourages us to lean not on our own understanding, but to put all of our faith in God. You know, even if we want to turn left, if our logic is telling us to turn left, if God decides to tell us to go straight or turn right, that we put our faith in Him and we go straight or we turn right, despite what we feel compelled to do, despite what our flesh feels compelled to do. Sometimes God is going to lead us into the valley of the shadow of death. Sometimes God is going to lead us to face Goliath. And when we're leaning on our own understanding, on our own reasoning, that tells us to run in the opposite direction of Goliath. It tells us instead of going into the valley to go into the mountains. If God told us ahead of time, every step he was going to require us to take, every painful situation, every uncomfortable situation, every situation that got us in our feels, if he told us ahead of time, do you really think we would say yes to him? God is so good that he takes us inch by inch, step by step, careful not to overwhelm us, and reminding us that as long as we keep our eyes on Jesus, like when Peter was stepping out on the water, as long as we keep our faith in Jesus and our eyes on Jesus, miracles can happen. The impossible can happen. It's only when we start to doubt, it's only when when we take our eyes off of Jesus that we start to sink. But even if we do, trust that Jesus will be right there to pick you up and lift you back up. A righteous person may fall down, but they get back up. God never promised that we wouldn't be hurt. He never promised that we wouldn't stumble. He never promised that we wouldn't fall. He didn't say, deny your flesh, take up your cross, follow me, and life will be beautiful. Life will be wonderful. Follow me, and there's no hardships. Follow me, and there's no complications. Jesus didn't say that. God wasn't preaching that. That wasn't the word that God delivered. But there is a rest that comes through following Jesus. Because when something's too hard for us to comprehend mentally, emotionally, when something's too weighty for us to carry, we get to lay it at his feet. Even the things that we think we can handle, we lay those at his feet too. There is a rest that comes through following Jesus Christ. There is a peace that surpasses all understanding that comes through the Prince of Peace, that is indescribable, that is not understandable when you are in the world. I know because when I was, before I gave my life to Christ, I was diagnosed with anxiety. I was diagnosed with PTSD. I was having panic attacks. Every time I walked in a store, I was having a panic attack. I couldn't be in a store for more than 5 minutes because I would randomly, like, I'm telling y'all, I would get dizzy. I would start, like, shaking. My vision would blur. And if I drove somewhere, like I would have to sit in the car for like 30 minutes and decompress to feel comfortable driving. And the anxiety was a long time coming, but the panic attacks were out of nowhere. And it didn't matter if I was with people or if I was alone, if I'd been in the building a million times over, or if it was my first time there. The panic just found me. The anxiety just found me. And I unfortunately found some really unhealthy ways to cope with that anxiety because therapy wasn't helping. The medication the therapist gave me wasn't helping. One day Jesus told me that those coping mechanisms are creating separation between you and me, and I need you to let those things go. And those coping mechanisms weren't helping me cope anymore. I noticed that they had actually slowly started to make my panic worse. It was like those things turned on me. It was like those coping mechanisms, those habits flipped on me. And I really felt Jesus one day tell me, stop doing those things. Stop it with those coping mechanisms. Stop it with those habits. And trust me to be your peace. And I didn't fully know what that meant. I didn't know, like, is Jesus gonna bring something new in my life or heal something that I didn't even see and all my anxiety is gonna be gone? Is he gonna write me a new prescription? Like, I couldn't understand. And when I surrendered it to him, there were situations that started happening that would normally produce a lot of stress in me, that all of a sudden I had a peace that surpassed all understanding. There were times when I was put in a stressful position in the hot seat, when in the past I would be anxious and panicking, and I just had a peace of God's got me. God already knew this was going to happen. God has already planned for this. God led me here knowing I would face this. God has prepped me for this. And the times when I didn't feel like I had been prepped, I was just trusting that God's not going to leave me empty-handed. If I stay at his feet and I go to him, he'll show me what to do. I just have to be willing to surrender to his way and not try to execute my own way over his, because his understanding definitely surpasses mine. And that is still, sometimes I forget how impactful that testimony is, because anxiety is so debilitating. Panic attacks is debilitating. Like, I stopped leaving my house as much. I stopped speaking up publicly. It really seeped into every aspect of my life. How I related to people, if I chose to even have connections with people. You know, I was even paranoid for a good little while I was in New Age spirituality, before I gave my life to Christ. The demons loved that anxiety. They ran with it. And I tell you, the devil used it against me for a long time, but now God's using it as a testimony. And to be clear, you know, I'm not saying that therapy isn't an option. I'm not saying that medication isn't an option. I'm just saying that for me, those things, I did therapy growing up and in my adult years. I did the medication. And for me, Jesus showed me that he was all I needed. I'm saying that's for me. But therapy was so helpful growing up. It gave me an outlet. It gave me someone to speak to where it wasn't all internalized. I was actually in school for a while, minoring in psychology and counseling with a social work major. I definitely support therapy in psychology. It's good to get to the root of things and understand. But there's a spiritual aspect as well. And Jesus really showed me that he is the Prince of Peace and he is the solution. And sometimes that solution doesn't look like this brand new thing entering your life, how I thought it was gonna, maybe money will come in, or maybe, yeah, medication or some kind of healing. Like, and all it was Jesus' presence, as long as I surrendered to him. You know, Psalm 23 brings me so much peace. And I had learned when I was anxious, when I was panicking, when I was struggling with giving things over to the Lord, I would recite Psalm 23 over and over again, reminding myself, the Lord is my shepherd. There is nothing I lack. Meaning, the Lord takes care of me. The Lord guides me. The Lord protects me. I am going to lack for nothing. Needs wise, God will make sure I have everything I need to get to that next point, to get through the day. Is it everything I want? Maybe not, but it's everything I need. That also means everything I need for maybe a realization moment he's trying to get me through, a clarity moment he's trying to give me. Sometimes having a lack of financial, a lack of physical, brings us a revelation, brings us a clarity, brings us closer to Christ. Sometimes what we feel like is a lack physically is a plethora spiritually, because it creates a hunger, a thirst, right? And we can either try filling that hunger and thirst with worldly things or filling it with Jesus. But either way, it creates a desire, a need for more. After that, it's where do you go to fill that desire? For me, it was Jesus. I've talked before about how it was when I was stripped of everything and I had no answers, is when I finally saw Jesus as the answer. You know, I finally gave my life to Christ when I had ran out of options. It was when I really was able to see how good God was. I talked about that in the TikTok video yesterday, how it was having that everything else falling apart and it looking like there was no other solutions was a setup for a miracle, because that was going to be the first time in my life that whatever good thing came in, I was going to recognize it as miraculous. Meaning when Jesus came in and moved, I was going to see that he was the way maker, the miracle worker. And because I had been so consumed with badness and what felt like darkness going on around me, I was going to see Jesus for the light he was, for the goodness that he is. I wasn't going to fully appreciate Jesus, surrender to him, recognize him, his power, his deliverance abilities, until I was in a position where I couldn't give anyone or anything else credit outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. I couldn't even give myself credit. And I've been doing that for the longest time. New Age spirituality put so much pressure on you guys. Like when I was in New Age spirituality, I was taught I was my own creator and that I manifested my reality. So like the bad things going on, oh, you're not in a good enough headspace. Oh, you're not strong enough spiritually. Like for someone with anxiety and worry and panic, New Age really puts like a whole other like responsibility on you and weight that you shouldn't be carrying. It really does. For me, that's definitely what it did, was I had like a whole other weight, because then I was always, you know, to blame. And then I was always the solution. Well, it's like, well, think more positively, manifest more, meditate more, do all of these things more. You're just not locked in enough with the spirit. And it's like, no, man. And that's why I talk about all the time. That's one of the greatest things Jesus Christ gave me, was a peace and a rest. Where it was like, wow, I'm not the creator. I'm not the solution. I'm not the savior. I'm not the any of these things. It's Jesus. That was a weight off my shoulders, where it was like, this is not my role. This is not my responsibility. My role is to submit to the Lord, to obey him, to love him, to love others as Christ loved me. That was a whole weight off my shoulders of, this is not my, this is not all on me. When stressful things come in, the solution, it's not all on me. I'm going to look to God. What does God's word say? I'm going to pray to him and I'm going to take it to him. But let's get back on topic a little bit, because I started off this podcast talking about having faith that God can use any situation for your good, even when it doesn't look like it. And I will be real with y'all. Not too long ago, actually very recently, I have been confronted with that. And it feels like a real refresher course from God. Because there are some things that God allowed me to walk into that were straight warfare, man. That feel like straight up Goliath battles. That feel like straight up temptation in the wilderness, that feel like straight up being tempted to go back to Egypt. And there was worries, there were parts of my brain saying like, did I hear God wrong? It was like I because I had an understanding. God had warned me ahead of time. I had written it down in my journal months prior that like there was warfare coming and that I was going to face it. And I understood the situation I felt like I was being led into was very likely to come with warfare. So I was actually kind of apprehensive. And I was worried that it was going to be backward movement. And I was praying to God. And when I tell you, he gave me confirmation on confirmation. When I tell you that, like, he was literally moving things around, shuffling things around, there were some prayers that were answered day of. And this was months in the work of like, okay, I know God is leading me here. And even once I made that change, because things weren't complete sunshine and rainbows. I was like, God, did I disobey you? I had such a grief in my heart because I was like, God, did I disobey you? God, did I just delay what you're trying to do in my life? Like, I had so many thoughts and so many emotions. And the Lord really, I remember writing down in my journal, like, this is mental warfare right now. You didn't hear God wrong. When you are on the path is when the enemy is coming at you the hardest. And it's like the Lord had been telling me that I was going to walk into warfare. But then my brain started turning of, well, why would God lead me into a battle? Why would God lead me into warfare? Because I felt like the situation I was leaving was warfare. So I was like, why would God take me from warfare to warfare? And what's kind of cool is that transition period. There were some real testimonies to how God really answers prayers and surrender, and I will share that testimony at some point on here as well. But God gave me some real testimonies in that transition period, so I see God using that for my good. But the situation I was led into, it was really hard for me to understand. I was like, Lord, like, did you bring me to that place to be a blessing to these other people? To teach other people to do things for them, to be a servant, to do workings in their life. Did you bring me here to expose something in me, to reveal something to me, to do something? And like, I was just seeking for answers. And I felt like I wasn't getting those answers. I did feel like I kept hearing from God, like, trust where I have you, trust where I have you planted. Do your best to grow here. Remember what I've taught you previously of fleeing temptation, of loving your neighbor, of praying for people, of forgiving people, of serving. Like, keep implementing what I've taught you. Keep praying. Don't harden your heart. Don't turn away. Because that was a temptation, as I felt tempted to turn away. I don't want to say turn away from God, but I felt tempted to stop being in my prayer time as much because I didn't immediately jump into warfare. There was a little bit of a honeymoon period. And when I'm in warfare, I am like locked in with God. I find myself in my Bible, in my journal, like constantly. And when I left that warfare period and moved out, there was a little bit of a honeymoon period where it felt like so much peace that for the first time in a while, like I was just breathing and doing what I wanted to do with my day and everything like that. And I noticed myself starting to fall away from praying as much in scripture reading, and that had lasted about 5 or 6 days when it hit me of, oh gosh, I haven't been at God's feet like I usually am. I haven't been coming to him like I usually am. It wasn't like I was turning away of like, I don't want God kind of turn away, but I was turning away. And where did I start? Who did I start my day with? Because I was no longer starting my day with God. I was no longer at his feet. I didn't have so many things pushing me towards him. Was I going to him independently and willingly? And that was a real wow. I had to repent and get kind of turned around. But there was still, and I'll be honest with y'all, even today, there's still some kind of questions where I can't 100% say. Because I'm telling you, I'm not fully out of the woods on the situation yet. And I can't fully say, this is why God has me here. This is what God's cooking. This is what God's doing. Now, I do know God's character. And I do know that He will use it all for my good. And I have already seen, I'll give y'all some examples. I want to be thoughtful with the way I word it because I want to protect people's privacy, of how God is already using situations for my good. For example, John chapter 3, and I believe it starts in verse 20. And we were reading this in my church. We're going through the whole book of John, a 21-week series. And in that chapter and in that verse, it talks about how the light came into the world, and the dark hated the light because the light exposed the wickedness of the dark. So the dark flee, wants to stay out of the light. But the light isn't afraid. I'm paraphrasing right now, I'm not reading from the Bible. But the light isn't afraid of the light, right? Lest their deeds be exposed, lest their works be exposed. The light knows it's working in the light, so it's not fearful of what's going to be exposed. And recently, that has been what I've been dealing with. I'll tell y'all just honestly a little bit of the warfare I've been dealing with is like someone I love Someone that, I have to be around very consistently is going through a lot of mental battles and mental struggles right now. And unfortunately, I've been the target of a lot of accusations and gaslighting and anger. And when I tell you that, it feels like it's kind of like never ending. Like there's always constant like passive aggressive comments and just like calling me curse words and random accusations and like very outlandish. And I've really felt God call me to just forgive that person, pray for that person, flee the temptation to go back and forth to defend myself. Just keep it pushing, you know? Don't entertain, don't invest in the argument. There's nothing to gain from that. And I've been praying to God of like, God, why do you have me in this? Because I don't understand. Like, what's the point of having me be the target of attacks every day just to like retreat and not say anything? Wasn't I just let out of this not too long ago? This is definitely more of an extreme version. And the Lord brought that scripture to mind to me today. And I thought about how much clarity I have actually gotten during this time period, because, you know, with this person, I had felt like there was a demonic thing going on. I had felt like there was the devil working hard in this person's life. But there were times when I would doubt, because this person would appear to all of a sudden, the things that raised flags or I was skeptical of kind of disappeared for a while, right? And I was praying to God for clarity many times over. And sometimes the best way that you learn is by being exposed to something, by seeing it firsthand. And the Lord really revealed to me that I was able to see the truth. Because I was having a lot of like skepticism with this person. I even started kind of like thinking, well, did I hear God wrong? Is my discernment off? Is it actually coming from somewhere else and I'm just misplacing it? Am I being biased? And seeing how just my breathing has been a trigger for this person, just my presence alone, just my listening to a sermon, or just this person seeing me reading the Bible, and it's like all of this chaos and hearing the things that this person has been saying has been really revealing. Where I realize that this person isn't irritated by me personally. This person is irritated by the light of Jesus Christ. You know, that this is the devil. This is the enemy. This is the demon operating through this person. Separate the spirit from the person. And God was able to use that to really clarify to me, hey, like, your discernment isn't off. What you've been feeling, what you've been seeing, it isn't off. And that right there is an example, because I know it's not only been revealed to me, I know that there are other people who have been watching this situation who are also starting to see things in this person that they didn't see before and are seeing the truth in the way that I'm handling things to the best of my ability. And I'm not afraid of that light. I'm not afraid of that microscope. In the past, I would have been really fearful of this person putting all this light on me. And now I don't want to say like I welcome it. But I'm like, all right, if you're going to do it, I already know on my part what's going to show through. Because I trust God. And, you know, I didn't expect to share this testimony today on the podcast. Especially, I try not to share things as I'm actively going through them. And I really like to try to protect people's privacy. And I am trying to do that to the best of my ability. But someone is going through something similar now and needs to hear this testimony. Because it's really easy to hear people who've come out on the other side and say, yeah, God did A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Sometimes you need to hear someone who's right in the thick of it and saying, look, I don't know everything God is doing and everything God is using this for, but I know, one, God is using this for my good. And I can, in the moment, show you a couple ways where I can see, okay, God answered, used this warfare to answer my prayer. God used this battle to answer my prayer. I can tell you another thing, too, is I'm able to see how much I've grown, because a couple years ago I wouldn't have handled things the way I'm handling things now. And I'm not saying I'm handling things perfectly, but it is immensely more loving and more Christ-like than it was a couple years ago. And this was an opportunity for me to see the growth and my response and my reaction and the way that I handle it and the way that I quickly pray for this person after. I remember the first time this happened was the only time I jumped up and I rushed to defend myself that day. And it was minutes later, once I was alone, I started praying to the Lord and repenting, where it was like, I shouldn't have even spoke up and defended myself. I shouldn't have even invested. And in the past, it would have taken me a lot longer to humble myself to that point. And that's how I'm able to see the work and the progress the Lord has made in me, is how quickly I was able to take accountability and repent to the Lord now versus years ago. So really, hardships and trials and tests to the faith like this, they reveal your growth and how far you've come and what healing has been done and how you've moved. Like, God will use this immensely, and God will use it to build testimonies too. You know, when you hear people talking about miracles and talking about how God moved and God brought these things up in their life, it was never when they were already doing perfectly fine on their own. It was when they had no other answers that God's hand shows the most. So also understand that when you're in situations that just feel bad and like they make no sense, these can be setups. So don't stop going to God. Don't get angry at God. The devil wants you to get tired and to get angry and be like, God, why would you allow me to experience this? Like, that's how the devil wants you to react, is to be angry at God. And emotions are gonna come. But remember not to sin in your anger and to take them to God. Pray that he gives you a peace that surpasses all understanding. And pray that you see things the way that he wants you to see things. I know that's been my recent prayer, is give me the perspective I need to have. Lord, give me the clarity. Lord, I pray I don't harden my heart. Lord, I pray that I don't lean on my own understanding. Those are the things that have really been getting me through. Because I know that those are the things that lead me astray, is when I start to rely on my own brain and my own logic, my own understanding, and my own what I think. You know, that's a recipe for disaster. So whoever you are watching this today, lean on God and trust that he can use the situation for your good. And try today to think about, what are some good things that came out of it? As you know, I'll tell you, in my situation on the surface level, I didn't see good things. I just saw pain and frustration and upset and hurt feelings and weariness and tiredness. And once I thought about it and reflected on it and prayed to God, I see truth and clarity that I've been praying for, a distance that needed to happen. Because that's the thing too, a lot of us are holding on to things that God is calling us to let go of, especially relationships and connections. I cannot tell you how many times God had revealed to me before I surrendered to him that there were connections, there were friendships I had, there were people in my life that were not going to be able to come with me into the next season. I believe that God was going to bring me into a next season. And he was really telling me, hey, these people can't come in the next season with you. It'll be a recipe for disaster. You know, they'll be blocking your growth, not helping you grow. They'll be speaking death over you, not speaking life over you. They'll be leading you away from Christ, not leading you to Christ. And there were a couple people where I just, and this was really before I was surrendered to Christ, I just couldn't let them go. And eventually fallouts happened, whether it was me hurting them or them hurting me. Because I'll tell you, I wasn't perfect in that situation. Or if it was a truth about them being exposed to me and I had to choose to let them go and release them. Painful things coming to the surface and I had to release them. I had no other choice. There was so much pain. I just had to walk away. And I see now, looking back, that's like, I wouldn't have found Christ. I wouldn't have surrendered my life to Christ if I still had those relationships to rely on if I still had those influences. There are certain things that God was doing that I couldn't have until they were released. I see how God was putting everything together like a puzzle piece. Sometimes that situation you're going through, God is using to get you to release that person because you're not doing it independently. He loves you so much that he'll allow that pain to happen so that way you let them go. And I praise God for it now, but I'll tell you, I wasn't feeling very good in the time. And that's another thing I can identify with the situation too. God has revealed to me where I need to put my distance. And that doesn't mean to harden your heart. You continue to pray for those people. You continue to love those people. You continue to pray that they are delivered. You continue to pray that they surrender their lives to Christ. You continue to release vengeance over to the Lord. But that doesn't mean that you give an open door of access to your heart. You can have boundaries and still have a softened heart. So whoever you are listening to this podcast today, pray to God. Thank God for what he's taking you through, because even if it's painful, there's something he's trying to do with it. He wouldn't be allowing this to you if there wasn't something he was going to do with it. And lean not on your own understanding, on your own logic. I'm telling you that it was a long, humbling process for me to even get to this point, and I'm not calling myself always humble. I know that there are times when God really still has to humble me, and I think we all have those points with the Lord. We're not perfect. None of us. But what's coming out of my mouth right now has been years in the making of walking with Christ. Years in the making of painful processes and having to see the afterwards. So I pray again that this episode blesses you and that you take something out of my learned experience. That even if you can't see the why, even if you don't have all the answers, trust that God is going to get you through this and you are going to be better on the other side. By God's standards. All right. Thank you guys so much for listening to this podcast episode. I pray it blesses you. Thank you. Please subscribe to the Salt Not Sweetener podcast. I'm your host, Danielle Townsend. I hope to be back with you soon with a new episode. But until then, I hope you scroll through, listen to the others if you haven't already, and have a wonderful weekend. God bless.